Well, it is so great to see you guys here this morning. What a wonderful opportunity to enjoy something a little bit different, something new that is yet so old at the same time. We were setting stuff up, getting ready for the weekend, and a nice guy walking by, I heard him talking to his friend. Oh, someone's having a revival this weekend. Well, we've had a wonderful weekend, and it was great. Like I said, Taste the Highlands was a wonderful time. It's always neat to see the neighborhood get together and have a wonderful weekend, and I love having this all set up and then it's available to us. Well, some of you have gotten to know me enough that you don't even need me to tell you this. Others of you, you might need to hear this. If you want to see my friends and family roll their eyes, express a deep sigh, or even slowly but subtly start backing away, just keep your eyes on them anytime I utter the phrase, "You know, that reminds me of a story." Perhaps you have these people in your life. Perhaps I'm one of those people in your life. Perhaps you are one of those people yourself. You know, not everybody can take a 10-minute story and yet somehow take 20 minutes to tell it. I think that's an art. But you see something, maybe it's a situation or an experience or maybe just a cloud, and suddenly a story comes to mind, and it's a story that needs to be shared. You know, I'm a firm believer that we're all connected by stories. I love them. I love hearing them. I love sharing them. I love collecting them. Because we all have stories, and there's something there that does connect us. You know, even those who might not consider themselves storytellers are at least story livers. We are all living our own stories. These stories, they connect us. They connect us to one another through shared experience or simply the sharing of our experiences. They connect us to ourselves because we get to reflect back on our own lived experiences and come to know ourselves and our lives in a little bit deeper way as we reflect. I was especially mindful of storytelling as I prepared for today, this our Bluegrass Sunday. There's a quote from Dan Fogelberg on the top of your bulletin on the front cover. It's reflecting on how bluegrass musicians are ones who tend to have more stories than most other folks. I can appreciate that sentiment. In fact, it reminds me of a story. I grew up in Tennessee, and I spent a lot of summer evenings out at Opryland listening to the Cumberland Boys play their tunes. And the stories and songs I would hear, some of them we've heard today, some of them you hear when you sit down at any kind of bluegrass gathering. I knew that was going to trip me up. It's wonderful. And I love how you can watch a good team of bluegrass folks. I was chatting with the Hayward Strangers last night and let them know Thunder and Rain. Oh, we love them. We heard them at the last, and da 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 da. And what I love is how musicians of this nature can just gather together and someone can start playing, and you guys know the progression. And before you know it, folks are hopping in and joining in, and the story's being told through the music and through the words, and something is shared, and it's bigger. These are the stories that are told through music like this. Be it musicians like Thunder and Rain or the Hayward Strangers or other talented groups of musicians, they share these gifts through song. Many of the stories that are told through these bluegrass tunes are not their own stories, but they become our stories as we sing them together. These songs are passed down generation to generation, artist to artist, audience to audience, and they continue on because their story is one that is relatable. It's one that we can connect to and that connects us. When you listen to the words of these tunes, you hear songs that reflect on brokenness. That can connect with our stories. Your songs that offer hope, that connects with our stories. Your songs that seek wisdom from the past, song that tell of troubles and tribulations of day-to-day life, songs that dream of the next life to come, these are things that connect with our stories. You'll hear all of these things in the songs today, especially that whole part about dreaming of the next life to come. Hymns like "Will the Circle Be Unbroken?" "I'll Fly Away," these are perfect examples of a story not only being told, but a story that's being dreamed of, a future that's hoped for in that next life to come. It's something that's been a long history for humanity, this dreaming and wondering what's next. Where do we go from here? In fact, it reminds me of a story. It reminds me of a lot of stories, actually. In the 13th chapter of Matthew, Jesus gets on a storytelling kick. I mean, this guy could tell stories like nobody's business. And he would get going and everybody would just sort of sit there. And I'm sure his friends and family might have reacted the same way some of my family reacts. His disciples shared some of those. I'm sure James started rolling his eyes. Thaddeus let out a sigh. And Bartholomew suddenly remembered he forgot to tie up the boat and it had to disappear for a while. See, Jesus starts and he gets going. There's like 10, 12 stories in a row. He starts with the parable of the sower who was out and dropped some seeds and how they grew and didn't grow. And then he tells one about the weeds in the wheat, how the farmer was trying to grow the wheat and the weeds got mixed in and they didn't know what to do. And they said, we'll sort it out later. Oh, then there's that one about the mustard seed, that tiny little seed that becomes the biggest of the plants. Oh, then there's the one about the buried treasure and the one about the pearls and the one about the fishing net. All of this in one chapter. Jesus covers a little bit of everything. The farm stories, the shopping stories, the fishing stories, the gardening stories. There are cooking stories. Everything. He didn't let anything go by without finding a reason to tell a story. It's because all of these stories share some very similar characteristics. First, they come from very real, everyday life examples and experiences. I think that's important because we live everyday lives and have everyday experiences. And we need to be able to see things that are deeper and more meaningful in those moments so that we can continue through and carry on. Secondly, the other thing these stories share is that they all speak to Jesus' favorite topic, the kingdom of God. Every single one of these, see, something comes up, he's like, oh, yeah, that reminds me of the kingdom of God. Oh, you know that? Let me tell you a story. Oh, that totally reminds me of the kingdom. Non-stop this guy with the kingdom of God. And I love that he spends so much time on this. He just wants to keep trying to explain it, like there's always something more to tell. He just starts with, you know, the kingdom of God is like, and then he offers an example. Here's some of these from Matthew. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and planted in the field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it's grown, it's the largest of all the plants. It becomes a tree that birds from the sky may come in and nest in its branches. But then Jesus realized there's more. This kingdom of God thing's even bigger. The kingdom of God is like yeast. And a woman took and hid it in a bushel of wheat, and then the yeast worked its way through all the dough. Okay, that's kind of it. There's more. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that someone hid in a field, and someone else found it and covered it up again, and full of joy, they sold everything they had so they could buy that field. Jesus just keeps going on and on, looking for more ways to fully capture God's grace and God's love for all people. I mean, his stories have some great insights. When he talks about those weeds and the wheat, I hear Jesus telling us that our lives are complex. Our lives are filled with a lot of influence and choices, and our lives can be messy. And they leave us needing love and grace. God's love and grace that helps us bring things back into order. Or when Jesus talks about the yeast or the pearls or the treasure in the field, I hear him reminding us that God's kingdom is present all around us, awaiting discovery. And that while it's fully present in here in our lives, it also requires a little bit of work and commitment. That God's asking us to be involved in it, not just observers of it. You see, Jesus keeps telling stories, each one revealing something new that the others didn't have. Because there isn't one story that will ever do. It's too much to put into a single story. It takes all the stories, all of our stories. Because the kingdom of God is everything that God has ever hoped, dreamed, created, and desired for humanity. That's what Jesus is talking about when he talks about that kingdom of God. You can't just say, oh, it's kind of like that and be done with it. That's the point. You're never done with it. Brings me back to those hymns that talk about the glory of the kingdom to come, the blessings of life eternal, the joy of heaven. They're only but a part of all that God has in store for us. The kingdom of God isn't just something that lies in the future. The kingdom of God isn't just a someday proposition. It's a today proposition. And that's one of the reasons I love that Jesus was using such everyday examples for these kingdom of God stories. Because it's here. It's there. It's everywhere. It's right now. God's kingdom and grace are present. And invite us to work and commit to see it come to fruition even further. And that reminds me of a story. Or two. Yesterday was a very big day. Not only did I get to enjoy the taste of Highlands all day long, but then last night I got to go to the Ally Awards that were hosted by One Colorado as they celebrated folks who've been working for equality for LGBT people. And each part of my day told me a different story about the kingdom of God. There were 1,000 people here yesterday, gathered together. They were enjoying food, they were listening to music, they were having drinks, they were sharing conversations. It was quite the day. And I was up here doing prizes and drawings and over there making sure things were taken care of and chatting with folks over there. And as I was running around this place, I looked around and I saw the kingdom of God. I saw the kingdom of God. It wasn't a Sunday. Folks weren't here because it was a church event. People were here because they wanted to be together. They wanted to see the neighborhood. They wanted to enjoy life. I saw the kingdom of God. You see, the kingdom of God is like a big community gathering. Now, this story isn't perfect, because I don't believe the kingdom of God requires a ticket or has fences around it. But I do believe the kingdom of God is about being together and being nourished and sharing joy. The kingdom of God is present all around us and present in our lives. And last night when I went to the Ally Awards, amazing stories, the folks who were awarded as allies working for the LGBT community, amazing people. I sat there listening to these stories of all they'd done, how they were seeking to do justice and love kindness and walk humbly. And I saw the kingdom of God. There was a space created that acknowledged the brokenness of our world and how necessary and important it is for there to be efforts by those of us who can strive for more. It was a chance to acknowledge the world is in process, that we continue to make strides in inclusivity and equality, but it takes hard work by those who care. I saw the kingdom of God in those stories. Because the kingdom of God is like a group of people striving to make the world a better place. Now, it's not a perfect story. I don't believe the kingdom of God requires cocktail attire, but I look darn good in a white jacket. I don't believe the kingdom of God is focused on a single issue either. But I do believe the kingdom of God is about working and striving for something more. Something that's for all people. Something that celebrates and honors love. Both God's love for all people and the love two people can share regardless of gender. The kingdom of God is all around us. Full of potential and yet at the same time waiting for us to bring it forth even as we celebrate and enjoy it. I found the stories of yesterday to be a reminder that God is present here and there and everywhere. I was surrounded by the communal and shared kingdom present and made real, as well as surrounded by the stories of people like you who are working hard to bring something more into this world. All while knowing we'd be together this morning, out here under the tent, holding all of these realities, the here and now and the then, together in worship. That's what we seek to do every week. Every time we gather, it is my prayer that we might be able to see and celebrate the places that we're already blessed by hope and love and joy and grace, blessed by the kingdom of God in our lives. It's also my prayer that when we gather together, we might still acknowledge the brokenness in the world, the brokenness in our community, the brokenness in our own lives, and create space to recognize that there's more work to do. These are our stories. And they are important. Because our stories are powerful. Our stories are valuable, just like our lives. Because when we live out our stories, we are embodying the presence and potential of all that God has ever hoped for, all that God has ever dreamed or created or desired for humanity, for us, for you. Our stories are glimpses of that kingdom of God. Amen.